the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
We've made it to the start of another week ruled by a dysfunctional government. And we're still alive. Lair Adams with you, folks. And I believe I have discovered through careful investigation the reason the Democrats and Republicans have falsely created this stalemate. And here it is. But first, this is the American Adversaries at Drive Time, and we are live on News Talk 660 WORL. Sorry about that. Here is Washington's purpose in a nutshell, and you heard it here. They want to bore us all so much, we don't care. And frankly, it's working. My co-host is here to snap you out of it, Mr. No-Doze himself, Christopher Hart.
I was going to say, that's our role, folks, to keep you awake during all of this, if you will.
Because it is. It's agonizing, isn't it? Like, I don't care.
Oh, I'm loving every minute of it. And welcome to the show, folks. I'm hoping you're loving every minute of our show as well. We are the American Adversaries, and we are live. 407-774-8255 is that number. We welcome you to join us here on the show today. And once again, we had a very good show last night, even though we missed Lair. He did get his closing comments in. Very good, Lair, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, we really enjoyed that. But if you did miss last night's show, it was an excellent show. We had our first lady of wrestling. Matter of fact, one of the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. And Sunny, the California girl, is the name she wrestled by. Patricia Summerlin is her name. And it was an interesting conversation. Really enjoyed it. And had some great callers. And if you happen to miss last night's show or want to hear it again, just go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and hit that archive button, and it'll take you right to Podbeam. And you can just zero right in on the very segment of the show if you want to listen to it. And you can also email us at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Just tag our names on the front of it, like Chris Hart, H-A-R-T, or Lair Adams, L-A-Y-R Adams, or Nostradamus, N-O-S-T-R-A Dennis, at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Okay, it's going to be us today. Nostradamus is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the government shutdown. Well, we're going to talk a lot about that, if you will. We'll be all around it. Talk a little bit about Obamacare and why the Obamacare website is having so much problems, so many problems. Lair, I think they hired people with the technical skills of you and I to set it up, and that ain't good.
wait a minute. Hold it. You got to turn it on? Wait a minute. Hold it. You didn't tell me you had to turn something on here.
Wait till I read you folks a little bit out of a front page article in the Wall Street Journal today entitled Software and Design Defects Cripple Healthcare Website. I'm telling you, you would think a bunch of amateurs set this up.
Well, Chris, I had heard somewhere the government spent less than a half of $1 billion. To put this together, and the software people said, no, you need like four or five times that much to set this up, but oh no.
All that reminds me.
Do it on the cheap.
That reminds me of the old saying, you get what you paid for.
Yes.
And they got
same
this.
Same with presidents, Chris.
Yeah, exactly. You got that right. But listen, we already have a caller on the line. It's our friend from the East Side Tea Party, Peter Lee. Peter, thanks for calling the show tonight. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Are you high and dry out there?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty nice night.
Yeah, it's too cool down.
I wanted to talk, first of all, I think, you know, this whole scenario with the shutdown or whatever is one further piece of evidence to say that we should not have the government involved in our health care. Because we don't want, you know, granddad, you know, missing out on his vital surgery because they're having issues with the budget in Washington, D.C.
Or having issues with the records and getting the proper records because the computer system's so screwed up.
Anyway. Well, sure. You know, a little bit about me. I used to work in the insurance company, in the insurance business. I used to work for, you know, one of the big hospitals and things like that and manage their insurance policies. And, you know, you miss one transmission on one night, and hundreds of people are affected.
Yeah, absolutely.
Find out until they're standing in front of the doctors.
Absolutely.
And Peter, too, there are those situations out there where you may have situations where you don't want your public records known by everybody. You may have conditions you may not want known by everybody.
Well, you can
and this
that.
Is just going to throw that out there in everybody's face, isn't it, to be used?
Yeah, you can absolutely forget that. But get back to what you were talking about at the first there, Peter. You know, do you really want this ineffective, inefficient government being charged of your health care? No. And I know in a personal experience, I broke both of my wrists and had to have surgery at Florida Hospital. And I did not have insurance at the time. I ended up paying for it at half price, by the way, folks. Thank you, Rush Limbaugh. But the guy, I was in a hospital room, two beds, and I had two broken arms. They brought in a guy who had two broken heels, right? So the nurses got a big kick out of, you know, usually it's one. People don't come in with both that often. He was in there under workman's comp, okay? Now, so the government was paying for it. I was under there as an indigent as far as the hospital knew, right? All they knew is what I was saying.
They didn't have insurance.
Exactly. And guess who got the better treatment? Me. As a matter of fact, the most traumatizing part of my hospital stay was witnessing how bad the guy in the bed next to me was being treated. And he was in there under government care. And part of the problem was, and here's part of the problem with Obamacare, and that is that every decision the doctors and nurses made had to go through workman's comp before it was implemented, whether it be pain medication or the surgery itself that the guy had to go through or whatever.
Well, Chris, what it was...
But guess who got out of the hospital first?
You were the cash payer. You were the cash payer.
They didn't know that, though, at the time. They had
no idea. Oh, you
hadn't
discussed that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, I had told them that I had some money, but how did they know? As a matter of fact, the day... that I walked in with some money and gave it to the lady who, you know, the administrator who I had talked to, she kind of glanced at somebody else like, oh, my God, he actually paid a bill. Yeah.
He paid a bill.
And I paid it all, and I paid it in cash. And thanks to what I had heard on Rush Limbaugh's show, I asked him for a discount. And without blinking an eye, everyone up and down the line except for the ambulance company gave me a discount. The hospital gave me 50%. The surgeon gave me 40%. And that was typical. But
they came out ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't mean to get carried away there. I didn't mean to get too carried away, but I did want to just emphasize my experience is that you were dead on in your original comment there.
That's one of the reasons why we're losing so many doctors as well, because they know that they can't make money relying on the government to pay them.
Oh, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Anyway, I know you called about something else as well.
Yeah, I wanted to call about something that it put people to sleep apparently 5 months ago, including the Senate, and that was going from your original introduction. But it was H.R. 807. It was a bill that, in case we reached our debt limit, we would still keep certain priorities, those being we would fully pay our debts to foreign and domestic debts, and we would fully fund Social Security and disability. And we have enough revenue coming in that we could do that
right,
without having hit a debt ceiling, without doing anything else.
Right.
Well, that was passed by our House of Representatives on May the 9th. It is still waiting for the Senate to touch it.
Right.
Every time Barack Obama or Harry Reid goes out there and says, oh, we're going to default on our debt, and it's a Republican's fault. It's an absolute outright lie. They have a bill sitting in their office on their desk waiting to be passed by the Senate.
Well, I think you're absolutely right about that. But I think what Barack Obama is beginning to find out, and Jack Lew is Treasury Secretary as well, is that they are beginning to appear more and more like the boys who cried wolf. Okay, and people are paying less and less attention to their cries of catastrophic, you know, failure in the economy or whatever if they don't get their way, if the debt ceiling isn't raised and, you know, cleanly, so to speak. Well, that's a crock. And you just said, what you said, Peter, doesn't require a new law to do that. The president could do that. However, this would force the president if it had been the law of the land. But you're absolutely right. There will be money coming in. There's money coming in all the time from tax payments and other sources of income for the federal government. It will be enough to pay for the debt, to service the debt that we have now, pay for Social Security, Medicaid, stuff like that. But it will not allow for any new debt and any new spending.
And what I think is happening here, guys, is that the government has kept the country in panic mode for so long, people aren't panicked anymore.
Yeah, and we talked about this last night. I mean, just look at the president. First, the sequester was supposed to be... It was the tax increase at the beginning of the year when he didn't get the Social Security tax cut. Temporary cut, you know, made permanent. That was supposed to be, you know, in the economy. Then the sequester was supposed to. Now this, the shutdown itself. And people, like you say, are yawning, going, same old song, same old song and dance. Peter, thanks. I appreciate your call out there.
Absolutely, Chris.
Okay, stay on the ball out there and keep the Tea Party faith going there, my man. Okay, folks, when we come back, we'll continue this conversation. I'll tell you a little bit of what the Wall Street Journal says about the website about Obamacare. Anyway, let's go to the break. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And if you really want to find out what's going on in America, check out the American Adversaries. Tough guy.
Ho! All right, and away we go. That's right, folks. We are the American Adversaries Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. And if you're tuning in now and you're expecting the Rays baseball game, it will start and it will be live and it will be complete. It'll start just a little after 6 o'clock. I think first pitch is scheduled for 6:07, and it will be right here on 660 WORL. However, most of the pregame show will be preempted by the American Adversaries. So if you've tuned in for the pregame show, please stay with us and listen to us instead, because the Rays will be on, and the game will be played in its entirety right here on 660 WORL coming up at 6 o'clock.
Now, Chris, I heard a rumor that this game is a little bit important. Is that correct there, buddy?
It's a win or go home situation.
Yep.
It seems as though the Rays tend to lately anyway done best in those type situations. However, this is a little different because they have to win
three more
or go home.
They
got
to win three in a row,
best three out of five. They're down 0-2, so good luck to the Tampa Rays, and they need some good pitching tonight and some clutch hitting. Okay, let's get back to the topic at hand, which is which one. First of all, was that a bit of a blink today out of the White House? Certainly the rhetoric does seem to have changed somewhat, that Barack Obama and his spokesboy, Jay Carney, are a little less adamant about simply no negotiations.
Well,
it's now gone to, I'm willing to negotiate anytime, anywhere, any day, and I've always wanted to negotiate, just not be blackmailed. You know, it seems as though there has been a shift, if you will.
Well, I think that has to do with public opinion, because it never sounds good, Chris, to say, I'm not going to negotiate. And Barack, with his arrogance, has tried this before, and it never worked before.
Well,
so,
I guess, but
it is really stupid, because he has time and again said, no, I'm not going to. So this is just, it's almost childish to try to walk this one back.
But look at how he got to this point. Was it of his own doing? No. It was because finally the Republicans bucked up their backs and said, no, wait a minute, we're going to say no. And we'll take our licks as they come. We've been pro this whole shutdown thing all along. At least I can't say pro shutdown. We have been pro the stance that the Republicans have been taking. And
Well, Chris, think about this.
And the success that has come from that started with Ted Cruz, and it's simply the pressure that has been put on the president. Now, he wanted to take this stance all along. This is, as you said, this is nothing new for him. He likes being in this position of being in a fight. Unfortunately,
but he always loses.
This time, he has taken. He loses in a sense, but he wins in a sense.
No, he loses by looking bad and looking weak. And I think this is what's going to happen in this one.
But he has this time gone too far. And all these things where he's actually trying to inconvenience people, people are noticing this. And the Republicans have found themselves now on the side of public opinion, like it or not, out there. And Nostradamus is going to have some numbers for us when he joins us. But one of the things that people who, and this includes people within the Republican Party and the pundits on TV, and including Michael Medved, they don't seem to get. They keep, you know, saying, oh, it was impractical for Ted Cruz to stand up and do this. It was never going to be done away with Obamacare. It was impractical to do that. Therefore, it should never have been done. Well, the president wouldn't be in this pickle if it had not been done, okay? And I kind of like the president being in a pickle for a change, because it's going to cause things to turn and to change, and that's what we need the most. And standing around doing the same old thing was not going to allow that to happen. And that's what these people keep asking for, the same old, same old. Well, the American public doesn't want same old anymore. They want their congresspeople to get in there and mix it up with the other side. Now, there's also the argument of, well, should Congress be actually representing the people, or should they be voting their conscience? I heard this on Michael Medved's show this morning by the guest host, Mike, I forget his last name, it starts with an S. Anyway, he was saying, you know, it's not Congress's responsibility, talking about the House of Representatives, responsibility to go in there and vote the way the public wants them to vote. All right, well, let's do a little rethink here. All right, we have two houses of Congress, right? All right, we have the Senate and we have the House of Representatives. They are both houses of Congress. Why did our founding fathers set it up that way? Couldn't they have just done with one house of Congress, or say a parliament? They did it because
monocameral.
That we have bicameral.
Yes,
okay, why didn't they set it up monocameral? Because they wanted both. They wanted some to be voting conscience, if you will. But they also wanted others to be voting the will of the people. And that is why they named the lower house the House of Representatives. They are there to represent the will of the people. And that's why they're only there for 2 years at a time, because the will of the people changes so often. But they balanced that with the Senate. You see, and back when the Constitution was written in the way it should still be, the senators were appointed by the states, because they were there to represent the interests of the states and the larger goal, the larger good, their conscience, if you will, their expertise. They weren't there so much to represent the people. That was for the House of Representatives. So, oh, by God, yes, they should be there voting the will of the people more so than theirs. And so what is happening right now is the way it's supposed to work. And that's what's got Washington so shook up.
Well, for some of the Republicans.
For some of the, they're all shook up by it. That's right. The establishment types, the people who
some
like.
Some of them are confused. They think that it applies to them like it does in the Senate. My opinion.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. They are there more so to represent the opinion of the people. And that's why they also had legislation originating in the House. But they also set the Senate up to basically be the brakes on the legislation. They knew that the will of the people would be subject to whim, if you will. And therefore, the laws and the legislation that came out of the House were subject to be cooled off, to slowed down in the Senate. Our system is working the way it was designed. It is working perfectly, thank you very much. It was designed to throttle back people like Barack Obama. And for the guys who don't seem to understand that, who are most of them a whole lot smarter than me, I'm sorry, they need to go back to school and figure it out.
Well, Chris, what are they doing? They're doing everything not like it was supposed to be done. That's what politics is today. It's not doing it like they wanted it to set up.
Well, for the most part,
get rid of the checks and balances.
For the most part, it has worked that way.
No, but I mean today, though. When you get a president
like Barack Obama, who works very hard at bypassing the checks and balances, I mean, that's where he puts his smarts to work.
Oh, like executive order?
Executive orders and something that we talked about on our show last night called Sue and Settle, where basically the government, in particular organizations like the EPA and other organizations, conspire with the green groups to have the green groups sue the government so that they can settle with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that they can give them what they want. It's a very great little scheme they have going here, and it's about time an end was put to it. And if it takes a little bit of pain now to do that, I'd rather suffer a little bit of pain right now for a whole lot of gain rather than put off the gain to suffer the pain later on, because it's sure enough a coming, and that's for sure. And something else sure enough coming is the second half of this show.
You had better believe it. So you see, the government shuts down. But we don't. We do our jobs. We do our work. Folks just like you. If you are driving home, be careful. The storms are out there. It's kind of dark and murky, and the roads are still wet. But we will be back to keep you tight to the road.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. Roxy Pacifics is an all-natural kelp and vitamin-based antibacterial and anti-inflammatory. It is totally safe for kids, pets, and yourself. Do yourself a favor, RoxyPacifics.net. Now here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
Okay, let's go now to Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com. Hey, Ted, you know, I think a lot of people are finding out now that when it comes to President Obama and you're one of his friends, instead of having the Midas touch, he may have something more like the touch of death. Soundbite is focused in on a particular group. Please tell us about it.
Yeah, Chris, that's actually right. For one, because he is universally mistrusted, this is actually a good thing across the globe. As you know, he's been a flat-out supporter trying to help the Muslim Brotherhood win across the Mideast. And the Muslim Brotherhood is actually systematically being attacked in the Mideast and dismantled almost to a point.
And it's because they have revealed themselves to be the extremists that they are.
Absolutely. There's no question that they are extremists, even though the Obama administration and all of his friends in their pro-Muslim Brotherhood approach to things have tried to downplay that. And something really to point out, Hillary Clinton's top campaigner and former Congressman Wiener's wife, Huma Abedin, her family is actually part of the Muslim Brotherhood. So it's all incredibly, horribly, incestuously connected. But for this particular, in this particular instance, because everyone mistrusts Obama, it's actually having the opposite effect over in the Mideast. And you have countries like Saudi Arabia that are funding the new Egyptian government and not listening to what Obama has to say.
Not only that, but we also find now that the Saudi Arabians are actually beginning to ally themselves with Israel because of the chaos in the Middle East.
That's absolutely correct. And again, Chris, it goes to that touch of death, which in this particular case is a good thing for everyone in the Mideast region and around the world.
Okay, thank you. Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com. Don't forget, folks, take the cure for ignorance at SoundbiteRx.com. We'll be right back.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL.
Okay, welcome back, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time. Lair Adams, Christopher Hart, and our executive producer, Nostra Dennis, will all be with you here in just a moment. 407-774-8255 is our number. If you are tuning in to find the Rays pregame show, I'm sorry, but the pregame show is being preempted by us guys, but the ball game itself will not be. At 6 o'clock, we're going to turn it over to Rays baseball, and you'll be able to listen to the whole game in its entirety, and hopefully the the Rays will come away with a victory tonight.
Go Rays.
Yeah. So let's go to our executive producer, Nostradamus, and bring him in on the conversation. Nostradamus, how are you doing this morning? Afternoon,
I should say. This afternoon.
Yeah.
I predict the Rays are going to win a squeaker tonight, but I have bad news. I predict they're going to get blown out tomorrow night.
Well, all right. Well, we'll see what happens. They need to win these next three to make it to the next level, to the American League Championship Series. We'll see what happens. Nostradamus, before we get into some stuff I know you've got, I just wanted to go over real quick what the Wall Street Journal says about the website that the government has set up for to handle the Obamacare enrollees. Let me just read from this article entitled Software and Design Defects, Crippled Health Care Website. Sounds like I just got up, doesn't it? Okay. The article says, the website is troubled by coding problems and flaws in the architecture of the system, according to insurance industry advisors.
Are you sure they didn't read coding problems?
Coding problems and flaws in the architecture of the system. Among the technical problems thwarting consumers, according to some of those people, and those are technical experts that they're referring to, is the system to confirm the identities of enrollees. Troubles in the system are causing crashes as users try to create accounts the first step before they can apply for coverage. And then later on it says, information technology experts who examined the healthcare.gov website at the request of the Wall Street Journal said the site appeared to be built on a sloppy software foundation. Such a hastily constructed website may not have been able to withstand the online demand last week. Engineers at web hosting company Media Temple Incorporated found a glut of stray software code that served no purpose they could identify. They also said basic web efficiency techniques weren't used, such as saving parts of the website that change infrequently so they can be loaded more quickly. Those factors clogged the website's plumbing, and so on. So it really does sound like they hired a bunch of amateurs to set this thing up, Nostradamus.
Yeah, in fact, you said that they found code that served no purpose that they could identify. Could it be that maybe this extra code is in there just to route all this information directly to the NSA that's building out in Utah?
Good thought. Interesting thought, yes.
Or is it to discourage people from actually joining this whole thing?
No, I wouldn't.
I think it's embarrassing to the administration that they're not getting people signing up.
It's embarrassing to the United States. I mean, this is the country, you know, where Microsoft came from, where Apple came from, where Dell, Compaq computers came from. I mean, you would think that in the United States of America, they would actually go to the real experts to set this thing up. But as Lara said, I guess they wanted to do it on the cheap. Well, here's what we got. Just like
if this were a website brought out by a company with an IPO a week ago of $100 a share, after 7 days of this nonsense, their price would be under $1 right now.
Yeah, Dennis, if this were a website run by the Obama re-election campaign, it would be smooth as silk.
You got a point, Larry.
Okay. Nostradamus, this government shutdown is having an effect on the president's popularity, is it not?
It really is, and this is by the right-wing newspaper Bloomberg. Bloomberg has come out with a poll. Now, actually, this is a poll conducted September 20th to 23rd, so it was before the effects of the shutdown, but it was with the shutdown looming. Americans, by a 2-to-1 ratio, disagree with President Barack Obama's contention that Congress should raise the U.S. debt limit without conditions. 61% say that. That includes 3/4 of Republicans, 2/3 of independents, and more Democrats than not.
I think that maybe that's one of the reasons why the White House is beginning to slowly shift their position, because the government shutdown is almost becoming a thing, a sort of a sideshow, and the main act now is becoming raising the debt ceiling. And if I'm not mistaken, that's what the question was, wasn't it? Debt ceiling, you said?
A clean debt vote.
Debt ceiling vote, that's right.
That's right.
They understand that the Republicans the government shutdown aside, which turns out to be some sort of icing on the cake, if you want to call it that, for Republicans, because unexpectedly they find the public more with them than the president and the Democrats, I think. That's being shown more and more on the continuing resolution. The debt ceiling, the Republicans always did have the Republicans always did have the public on their side when it came to the debt ceiling, and that's what these numbers are showing. And his posture of no negotiations, I would think, would only make those numbers more dramatic and more entrenched.
Yeah, a friend of mine put up this story. It's not a true story, but it sure sounds funny. He said he went into a department store and found out he was approved for a credit card with a $5,000 limit. So he said, "All right, give me everything in the store." They said, "No, we can't give you everything in the store." "Yes, I insist you raise my credit limit to whatever it's got to be so I can buy everything in the store." And the manager says, "No, I'm sorry, sir. You have to prioritize your purchase." Are you kidding me? I make $25,000 a year. If I buy everything in the store right now, I could pay it off in about 6,000 years, as long as I don't eat, no electricity, no clothes. So I just proved to you I can pay my bills, so now you're obligated to approve my demand. That's kind of what the Senate is saying to the Republicans.
Yeah, well, I think what we're looking at is that this standoff is going to go right to the debt ceiling, and perhaps even through the so-called October 17th, 10 days, the deadline that the Treasury Secretary has put down is that he would need to raise the debt ceiling by then. I think we're going to go right up to it and then perhaps past it. And I think the American public is ready for it. I really do. I think those numbers indicate it. I think this, when it comes to the budget and living on borrowed money, that's something I think the American public understands very well, because a lot of them have been there, done that, you know, or they may be there.
The borrowers have dug themselves out of that debt.
And or they may be there doing that right now, and they understand how devastating it can be to their own finances. And then, you know, multiply that trillions of times to incorporate the United States finances. That's just something that people basically understand. They understand that you cannot overspend indefinitely. And, you know, and then when you have young buck senators like Barack Obama who come along and drill into their minds that it's unpatriotic to keep raising the debt ceiling, which is what he said before he became elected president, and then, you know, he's basically made his own bed. Now he's trying to sleep in it.
He used to use a buzzword a lot, but I haven't heard a lot out of the president about the last 4 years. Unsustainable. Unsustainable.
Yeah, unsustainable debt. That's right. I guess he's got a whole new perspective now, but the interesting thing is that the American public, I believe, when it comes to the debt issue, are a whole lot smarter than Democrats give them credit for. Because that's something that they deal with at their dinner table or wherever they write their checks or pay their bills. That's something they can understand. You know, continuing resolutions and tying it to Obamacare and all this and that, that can be a little bit out there. But when it comes to raising the debt ceiling because you have to borrow more money, that's pretty basic stuff there. So
that's a phone call to the credit card company saying, "Give me another month. Give me three more months."
Yeah. Well, I think these next 2 weeks are going to be seminal in the history of this administration and in this country, because we do have the makings of a good old standoff, toe to toe, nose to nose. Who's really going to blink first? And as I said, I think that the Republicans have the most to gain and the least to lose. And I think they're beginning to feel it a little bit. I think that there be, you know, I watched John Boehner yesterday. I don't think I've ever really seen him acting the way he has in the last couple of days. And I think it's because he's beginning to see, hey, this might work.
He's like, hey, the president's got my number.
And this, that we standing tough and firm might actually work.
I hope they know how to act when they're winning, because that's not something they have a lot of experience with.
Well, maybe not. Real quickly, we've got a Warren's on the line. Our friend Warren's on the line. I want to get him in a second. But before we do that, you know, one of the things that I think that the Democrats have miscalculated this time too is that they can be just so callous and vindictive, and nobody's going to notice it. Now, we talked last week, and we'll be talking more tomorrow night with Ed Reardon of the Seminole County Honor Flight, or Space Coast Honor Flight, about, you know, the monuments being closed in Washington, D.C., and about how the government has to go out of their way to close them down. Nostradamus, you mentioned on our show last night how the government's putting cones on a highway, going out of their way, paying money to put cones on a highway so that you can't, this is a viewing area where people would stop and take pictures and view Mount Rushmore.
Chris, they are not allowing fishermen to fish down in the Keys.
Well, that's what I wanted Nostradamus to tell us about.
No, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize who's coming up with it, but I saw the article yesterday about that. You can't go fishing in the Keys, and there's more people out there stopping you than there would be normally.
Right, Nostradamus.
The National Park Service told charter boat captains that the Florida Bay is closed due to the shutdown. That's 1,100 square miles of open ocean. Now, forgive me, but when President Obama got elected, didn't he say that once he got inaugurated, the seas would calm down, and the water levels would... Can't he do that himself?
And the fishing would be better.
But this is, it's beautiful. It's classic. This is why I'd kiss the man on the lips. I mean, what idiot would do that? What moron...
This is governing by temper tantrum. That's what it is.
It's governing by liberalism. Let's not disguise it, Nostradamus. This is not temper tantrum. This is liberalism, okay? And this is the signs of what liberals are willing to do to exert their authority.
Did you hear what happened with one of the government things where it was helping children with diseases and things, and they were shutting it down, and then they discovered Michelle's website over trying to keep everyone fit. That was being funded. All the money was going to there to keep that going.
Oh yeah. Well,
once they discovered that, it was like, oh yeah, I guess we better open the money back up for the children.
Just remember this: the Obamas will never do without. Okay.
Guys, did you see the picture?
Hold on, Dennis, please. Let's go to the break. When we come back, we'll pick it up with you right there, okay?
All right.
Okay. Folks, we're the American Adversaries. We'll be right back.
The city don't know what the city is getting. The creme de la creme of the chess world in a show with everything but Yul Brynner. Time flies. Doesn't seem a minute since the Tyrolean ball had the chess bars in it.
No, Chris, I want to hear the rest of this song. I love this song. One night in Bang makes a heart and a humble.
Where did this thing come from?
That's Murray Head.
Yes, we know that. That's a great song, Dennis. Is
I
that
don't
your...
know that.
Oh, that's a wonderful song.
To the Broadway play, what?
What's that?
I never knew it had anything to do with the Broadway play. Which one?
Broadway play by Andrew Lloyd Webber called Chess.
Oh, yes. Okay. Why would we use bumper music having to do with chess? You talking about the game chess?
Yeah, chess with the knights and the rooks and the pawns. Yeah.
Okay.
Harry Reid took the time this past Friday to pass a resolution. No, it had nothing to do with the budget. It had nothing to do with the debt ceiling. But it passed unanimously in the Senate. This week, October 7th through the 13th, is National Chess Week.
Gary Kasparov would be proud.
Oh, at least we got that pressing business taken care of.
They're earning their pay over there in the Senate.
Yeah, okay. Dennis, can you name a United States chess master?
No.
Me neither. I know just the Russians.
Bobby Fischer.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, Kasparov was the famous one.
Though. Okay. All right, let's go to Dennis. Hang on there. We got a couple of callers. I want to go to them, and then we'll come back to you, okay? All right, let's go now to Warren first. Warren, welcome to the show this afternoon. How you doing these days?
Hi, guys. Opening gambit, pawn to queen four here.
Okay.
Hey, one thing that, you know, since you already stole my bit about government by temper tantrum, that's how I was going to open up here. But,
okay.
One of the things that has not received much traction without a pun, I guess pun intended, is there's a trucker's slowdown coming. Starting this Friday, called Truckers for the Constitution, and they're going to be slowing down the traffic on the Beltway. They don't care if they're arrested. They're just going to jam the highways.
What's the purpose?
Yeah, To protest the what?
They're protesting the a guy named Conlon is the head of it. He says, we're coming whether they like it or not, and we're not asking for an impeachment. We're just asking for the arrest of everyone in government who has violated their oath of office.
Hey.
So,
that's kind of broad.
We should really get behind and have our 18-wheel friends, and you've got a lot of them out there listening in their trucks right now. So, something.
So that's this Friday, the truckers slow down?
It's going to go, yeah, the truckers slow down. I think it's going to go for 3 or 4 days they're going to do this. They're not going to do it just one day.
All right, well, we'll look into this and see if we can find out somebody from a trucking organization who can come on and talk about it. Real quick, before we let you go, I want to thank you for the new improved picture of Mount Rushmore that you put up on our Facebook page.
Oh, I'm sure you like this. No, but, another thing, some time ago, that green eggs and ham.
Yes.
That was not original with me. I did change it. Originally, it had Nancy Pelosi in it. I changed it to Harry Reid, but
thank you.
I couldn't stoop so low to write Ben.
it was funny, so, though. We enjoyed it.
Oh, no, in another life, I wrote lyrics to hit songs, so...
Hey.
I've got one that might serve your purpose at some time, but...
All right, we'd like to see it. Definitely.
Hear it.
Hear it, you know.
Okay.
It was number 2 in Minneapolis at one time.
All right.
You know.
All right, I love
it. Okay, guys.
All right, thank you, Warren.
Thanks,
appreciate
Warren.
And by the way, folks, you can visit us on Facebook at American Adversaries. Okay, now let's go to Sherry. Sherry, we just have a couple of minutes. Thank you for calling tonight. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And Larry, I'm glad you're back from furlough.
Well, thank you.
That's what we were telling everyone last night. You were furloughed.
You and Carl.
Yeah. But you know what? On my own time, I wrote my closing and called it in.
Yep.
Well, a couple things. I want to mention about this shutdown. Dennis made a comment that they furloughed the Catholic chaplains.
Yes. Yeah, they would not allow them to conduct services.
Well, did they tell the Muslim chaplains and the Wiccan chaplains? Did they kick them to the curb?
I don't know about that. We'll have to check into it, but it's a good question. Excellent question.
They also closed down the Amber Alert.
Yes.
They brought it back up.
Yes.
Yes, there were complaints. And on one of the morning shows, it was either Beck or a Gallagher show, somebody called in, and they have actually closed down the commissary and the PX at Andrews Air Force Base.
Yeah, yeah. All I can say is let them do it, because all they're doing is making a whole lot of enemies, and these people are going to remember it. They are going to remember.
What are they going to do with all this food, the bread, the fresh produce, the meats?
Yeah.
Who's paying for that? Us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, it's going to make a lot of people angry, and Barack Obama is going to bear a lot of the brunt of that anger, mark my words, and as he should, along with the Democrats. And the Republicans, they've already felt it. Nothing new.
Well, the one talk show host this morning said the conservatives implanted a spine into John Boehner.
Somebody did, because he sure looked pretty sharp yesterday morning on this week with Stephanopoulos.
He's grown a couple of steel magnolias.
Yeah, exactly. I've got in my outline today, I said, was that a House Speaker?
No, I didn't hear him cry either.
Yeah, we had been missing that side of him, and I kind of like it, and I think it's good for the country.
Well, now, here's the question. Will the Karl Roves and the Bill O'Reillys like it?
Doesn't matter. Does not matter.
Did you hear the commercial? They've got a baby crying.
Yeah.
And they heard they comparing it to Boehner.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, more power to them for that. You know, I have no problem with that. The Republicans need to be doing the same doggone thing, as far as I'm concerned.
Hillary Clinton up there just being, as
by the way,
B-I-T-C-H-Y.
Did you see where I don't watch Saturday Night Live, but evidently she got pretty well toasted on Saturday Night Live the other night, where they were making fun of her hiding records from Benghazi and this and that.
Okay. No.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Hey,
we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Thanks, Sherry.
Nostradamus, real quickly, you've got something from the Saturday Night Live the other night as well. Did you see it?
I didn't watch it. I've kind of interest in the show.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, though, about the Warren did not tell you the details of the new Mount Rushmore, new improved.
Oh, go ahead.
That's why it has a little tarp in front of it. It's 4 separate views from 4 different angles of Barack Obama. and he's looking down his nose at all of us and all of us. It's beautiful. Go to our Facebook page and you'll see it.
Okay. Dennis, we're just about out of time. Only have a minute left. Who's going to be on the show tomorrow night?
Who is going to be on the show tomorrow night?
Abe and...
Oh, Abe Katzman will be there, and also Ed Ridden from Honor Flight Center, Florida.
Yeah, it's going to be a great conversation. We'll be talking about Iran and Syria and Egypt with Abe, and probably government shutdown as well. And we'll be talking about shutdown and Honor Flight. You know, they're the ones who have been blocked and basically broke their way into the memorial, the World War II memorial the other day, and these guys are ready to go to jail for it.
Well, Chris, that put the face on it.
His incarceration.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, folks, the Rays are coming up next. It's a playoff game. They got to win tonight, so stick around if you want to hear the Rays. It's going to start right away. Okay, and we are the American Adversaries.
Send all those good thoughts towards the Rays and also towards us. We are the American Adversaries, and we will be back tomorrow night, 5 o'clock, on through till Friday. Have a great night.
Night, everybody.
News Talk 6.